Do you have a golf trip with the boys planned this summer? Or are you just looking for an excuse to have one? Do you want to get that trip sponsored? Well, Mizzen & Main has you covered. Mizzen & Main, the makers of the greatest dress shirt of all time, makes more than just work clothes. If they can make a dress shirt comfortable, imagine what they could do with golf polos, pants, shorts, pullovers, and t-shirts. Right now, they're looking for golfers who want free polos. If you and your golf group are planning a trip this summer, you could apply for free polos and swag for the entire group. You may have seen a few pro golfers wearing Mizzen on your TV on Sundays. Everything they make is good enough for the PGA pros and comfortable enough for the highest of handicappers. The Mizzen & Main Pro-Am is a sweepstakes running from February 26th till March 10th. It's a chance to get your group of golf buddies covered in Mizzen & Main along with a bunch of free swag. All you have to do is apply at mizzenandmain.com/pro-am-sweepstakes. All the info is on their social channels as well. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, etc. After you've applied for the Pro-Am, because why not? It's free. Visit www.mizzenandmain to start shopping. Make sure you then use the promo code LOOP to get 25% off a purchase of $130 or more at mizzenandmain.com. Again, use the promo code LOOP to get 25% off a purchase of $130 or more at mizzenandmain.com.
I'm a huge Tiger fan, and I want to see him playing as much as he can. It sounds like he's going to try to play once a month. I thought about asking him to see if he wanted to play in New Orleans at the team event.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
How cool would that be?
We got to make that happen.
Welcome back to The Loop, presented by Mizzen & Main. I'm Alex Myers. As always, I'm joined by Steve Hennessy and Christopher Powers. We've got a big-time guest joining us once again. Steve Stricker will be on to talk about a bunch of things, including, the Champions Tour and Anthony Kim's comeback and everything else. So that was fun to get to chat with Steve. But first, as I mentioned, Anthony Kim's comeback. I think, guys, that was clearly the story of the week. Unusual that, you know, he's making his big return after 12 years, kind of in the middle of the night in the Middle East at the LIV Golf Jeddah event where a lot of people couldn't really watch. I did wake up early to watch a little. I said last week I wasn't into it, but I know you guys know on Slack. I changed my mind the next day when they started pumping out those promo videos. I kind of got into it. Obviously, he finished a million shots behind Joaquin Neiman. I think he was 11 shots. He was last placed by 11 shots, which is pretty brutal. But I don't know, guys, what did you think overall about AK's return? It was still pretty cool to kind of see him out there again.
It's cool that we get to see him. Like we said last week, I thought my takeaway from all the comments on Twitter were like, you know, everyone is, you know, competitive golf is hard and this is going to take Anthony Kim a while. No shit. Like, he hasn't played competitive golf in 12 years. No one expected him to contend to top five. Like, this was just getting to see Anthony Kim swing a golf club again. So that's a success. We got some, you know, viral-ish moments with the shank. He topped like another shot. So I didn't actually get to see much of it because, you know, it was on in the middle of the night and the app, like they're supposed to be, you could watch every shot of every player, but I couldn't figure that out. I don't know.
No, I don't think that's available yet.
Yeah. So
yeah,
there wasn't a way to see him unless the broadcast showed him, and
they were not showing him by the time I woke up, I happened to wake up early. It was like five. It's not like I set my alarm. I woke up at like 5:45. I flipped it on. I'm telling you, it was like 15 minutes before I saw him, but he was hitting like an approach on 10. He hit like a good approach, and then I think he might have three-putted. I'm not sure, but like the damage had been done. He was, you know, five or six over or whatever. Sorry. CP, what were your thoughts? I know you had, by the way, CP did a tremendous video. I'm giving you a shout in the grind as well, because I was so juiced up about this comeback with these promos. They did such a great job until the very end of this promo where it's, "Hello, haters, I'm back." Now, again, I'm not throwing this all on Anthony Kim. Obviously, Liv is behind this. But CP, like you point out, I mean, we have been gushing about this guy for over a decade, begging for him to come back. And now there's haters out there. I mean, it's enough.
I had a great tweet about it too, that someone referenced on his podcast without using my name and calling me someone.
Oh, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
You did have a great tweet, the Arnold Palmer tweet. Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about Dan Rapoport, who referred to me as someone.
That was tough.
I had that clip sent to me from one of my minions on Twitter.
Really?
I have. Wow. Yeah. But no, whatever. I mean, I do that to people all the time. I go, oh, somebody tweeted this and I forget who it was. Yeah. So I understand. But yeah, I honestly wasn't, I thought I was going to be all jacked up about it. I could not have been bothered. I mean, wasn't going to wake up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. unless it's the British Open or the Ryder Cup. So, good to see him back. Obviously the face is really throwing me for a loop. I know it's a touchy subject. I feel like, you know, the doctors of social media are saying he must have had cancer or something and that's a scar. It's like, all right, people, let's let him tell whatever story he wants to tell or doesn't want to tell. But still, I don't think it's unfair to point out, like, his face looks, it's like upsetting.
Totally different. Totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has one video where he said,
I don't care what he shot. That's all I could focus on all week was how he looked, like, in certain angles, the videos and the pictures. I've joked about the body double thing, but then you're looking at him like, is this a body double? This doesn't look like him at all, but it doesn't sound like him. It obviously is him. Bad for whatever happened, whatever he's been through. Hopefully he tells us about it. But again, it's up to him, really.
Yeah. There's one video where he says, I'll tell my story when it's time. But right now I'm just focused on golf. But then Greg Norman came on the broadcast again. It was before I woke up. And, but there's this long clip of Norman on there and he kind of hints at, potentially, you know, getting clean or so. I forgot exactly how he said it. And a few other things and how this has been this big journey back for him. But yeah, they're obviously going to let Anthony get into his full story when he feels comfortable about it. But so, obviously he's been through more than just, you know, wrist injuries or whatever in the last 12 years, a lot, you know, stuff's been going on, but again, great to see him back. And it was funny because when we talked to, Steve Stricker about it, who Steve Stricker happened to be a Ryder Cup teammate with Anthony on the that famous, you know, 2008 team. And they were both rookies and Stricker was 18 years older than him. He's still 38. He's still younger than when Steve Stricker was a rookie on the Ryder Cup team. So these guys have such long careers that you just never know. I mean, he could find it again. And Steve Stricker certainly seemed optimistic about that. But yeah, Steve, I mean, for now, to finish 11 shots behind the next person was kind of a tough look. Now I get it. They didn't want him to, you know, other people were online like, well, why wouldn't he play in, you know, some mini tour events and do this and get his game back in shape for tournament golf. And it's like, yeah, well, they're paying him a lot of money. They want the debut to be on their terms. They don't want him shooting 76s and mini tour events. And then he shows up, nobody's going to watch then. So I get why they did it, but it's still weird he didn't come back in the U.S.
The nature of the insurance policy is like he couldn't play any professional golf again or else he sacrifices the rest of that insurance policy. So the only way to make that happen is if Liv gives you $10, $15 million to make up for the remainder of that insurance policy. So like if he went and played mini tour events and Liv decides, you know what, you're shooting 80s, you know, out of Florida when no one's watching, maybe we're going to, you know, actually cut up that contract. So I think this is the only way forward. I just wish like we actually could have watched it because I'm with CP. I didn't really care to watch any of it because he was so far behind.
Right.
That was, you know, that wasn't surprising, but, you know.
They even had him start on a par five. The announcers are embarrassing. I mean, I'm sorry. It's so bad.
It's crazy.
It's like, I'm even trying to give it the benefit of the doubt here. I'm waking up early to watch it on the app, which I'd never done before in the app, and the app was fine. But like, they're like, they kept saying how he started on a par five, which I'm thinking, okay, they started on a par five to give him a nice easy hole. But they're like, the wind totally shifted. He was into the wind. And now
it was too quiet because there were zero people there. It was too quiet for AK on
the right. Exactly. Yeah. So and then what did I tweeted about it after Jerry Foltz, he finishes and with the 76 and he's like, not the greatest start, but there were plenty of experts out there who didn't think he could break 80. Who said that? Whoever said that? They're playing
Joel.
On it.
Joel Beal.
Maybe Joel. No, I mean, think
all of the hater stuff is literally just about Joel.
Yeah. Well, or Doug Ferguson.
I actually saw one of these live trolls were saying the haters and people were like, what are you talking about? And the guy like posted Joel's article.
Joel's article?
100%. I think they're all just.
No, that's a good.
Just Joel. And
that's a good point. And it's the headline of that article. It's like, Anthony Kim isn't who you think he was. Yeah. It's like, well, it was a great headline, Joel. And it was a good piece. I knocked Joel a little. I thought he went a little too far because, again, like we just never know exactly how good he could have been because of the injuries. I mean, he did win three times before 25. And then you have Doug Ferguson come on there and he's like, for context, Jordan Spieth won three majors before 25 and Colin Morikawa won two. I'm like, oh, okay. So Anthony Kim's not one of the greatest players of all time. Sorry. Right. Like, give
We're
me
talking a about break. The superstars like, of their generation.
Right. Like, so, okay. If you want to say Doug Ferguson and maybe Joel, although again, Joel was a lot more like, you know, even mannered with that piece. If you want to point out a couple people, fine. But like, I mean, unless you're saying that doubters are haters, which I don't think that's the case, you can't say he has haters. I mean, people love this guy. Yeah. I mean, too much. Joel's only point was like, look, the guy wasn't the greatest player of all time, which was kind of Doug Ferguson's tweet too. It's like, okay, fine. He wasn't the greatest player of all time. He was still great. He was still fun to watch. Steve, you were talking about that last week, how you loved watching him. We all did. So, I mean, again, this haters thing is just so absurd to me. So that I didn't like that. I mean, and we've seen it. We've seen the Golden State. We've seen Klay Thompson after they won a championship. No one thought we could do it. We've seen Travis Kelce say that. Dude, you play on a dynasty. Get lost. And so like, it's the same thing. We've seen athletes make up this stuff about the haters as motivation. But at Anthony Kim, it's like, man.
And it works. Hopefully it works for AK eventually too. Hopefully.
They didn't work. Yeah.
It's working for Neiman.
Neiman. Exactly. Let's talk a little about him. I will say, very impressed with him. Always liked him. And on Friday, I said, you know what? Let me just take a look at his Masters odds. And on one book.
He's not winning the Masters. I'm just going to say it now.
All right. Well, you're right. Because
he's not winning the Masters. It's too much. Yesterday was too much with everybody.
That's a bolder take than me saying Taylor Gooch was not going to win. Neiman is probably like
one of
the top 20 players.
Steve, we should do
100% one of the top 20
players. If a sports book wants to sponsor us, the Stevie CP. Taylor Gooch, Neiman, both have missed.
Dude, you guys might go bankrupt if he wins. I mean, I'd love it. I'll bet you guys. I'd love to see you guys. I'd love to see you take.
I've bet him at the Masters like every year the last 5 years. So
I bet him too. I bet in that one year he was through 36. He was right in the mix.
Yep.
Oh, so I like obviously the Riviera comp. Look, is he going to win? Probably not. You'll probably look right. But I'm sorry, I got him at 55-1 on Friday.
That's amazing.
He's now up to 30-1, 28-1. I mean, the odds have been sliced in half. He's won two of the first three events on LIV. He won the Australian Open. He was a top 20 player. I think Data Golf, I got to check the new rankings, but they had him 18th before this win. So he's probably top 15 player in the world. So to get him at 55-1, I'm sorry, I'll take that. But
for sure.
He was asked afterwards by that guy who does the post-round interviews, and the guy led him a little, but he was like, you're one of the favorites to win a major now. You know, again, went a little far or doesn't understand gambling. And he said, well, how is that possible? I'm not in the top, you know, I'm ranked like 100th in the world. And if he'd said it like laughing, I would have been like, all right. But he said it with this like negative face. And it's like, dude, you did this the last time you won. You just won another $4 million. pipe down. You got the invite to the Masters. There's literally nothing to complain about. Who cares what your ranking is? You're in the Masters. You're getting respect from the bookies. You're winning gazillions of dollars. To me, guys, I thought it was a little...
In the PGA now, according to Steve's boy, Matt Vincenzi.
That what? What'd he do?
Who?
Oh, is he in?
Neiman apparently told Matt Vincenzi,
yeah,
Stevie's favorite, that he's in the PGA now too.
How is that possible?
I think they got him. They gave him a special invitation or something.
I mean, look, he should be in all the majors, of course.
I know. Now he's in three of the four after crying about it. So
right, this is why to me with the ranking stuff, it's like these guys bitching. I get it. Gooch isn't in it. Fine. That's wrong too. He should be in the Masters. Okay, we all know that. But there's no one else besides him who I should say it. Louis was teasing. We were saying that last week. Anyway, my point is there's still a chance, and like there haven't been too many like horrific crimes against these guys yet. You know, they've gotten their money. They've won even more money. People are now talking about them, giving them time of day with, you know, it's not like we're not talking about Joaquin Neiman yeah. winning these events. So to me, I just think the bitching and moaning is pathetic at this point, especially when they knew they weren't going to get I don't want to hear, oh, Greg Norman told them. Well, what does that mean? You're going to believe him? You believe every word he says? I mean, come on. So I'm just tired of the act, the woe is me act. These guys are making tons of money hand over fist, and Joaquin Neiman is in the Masters. Pipe down. Just be happy about it.
It's our society today, Myers, and nothing is ever enough.
True.
Give a mouse a cookie, they're going to want some milk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now he wants to get in the U.S. Open. I don't blame him. Like, you know, he's honestly one of the more impressive feats of any professional golfer this year is what Neiman has done. And, you know, I know it's a smaller field, but he's beating, like, still Koepka and Bryson yeah. and Cam Smith and John Rahm. And doing it on a week in, week out basis. So the crying about the live coverage is a bit much, I think. I wonder what you guys think, because it really feels like the last few weeks, live has almost beaten the PGA Tour in terms of intrigue, interest, certainly this week with Anthony Kim. Yeah. You know, it's just unfortunate it's out in the Middle East and we can't follow it. But,
right.
you know, another sort of mundane PGA Tour event, we haven't even talked about it yet. We're like 20 minutes into this podcast about Liv. So to be complaining that, you know, the corrupt media is just ignoring all the Liv storylines is just so untrue. We're that's honestly the most
literally driving all the content right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll
do the someone tweeted because I don't want them to, because this was more of like a not a great tweet that looks dumb to in my opinion, and it was like, what will it take for the big media companies like Golf Digest and golf.com and Golf Channel to send someone to these events? Am I crazy? We've sent like a bunch of people to live events.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, maybe
he's been in the Middle East before for us, and that's right, where he got the famous Phil quote.
Evan's been to a bunch. Joel went to couple of the first
Dan went when he was still with us. Like, I mean, we, you know, and again, we're clearly writing, talking, covering it more now to Steve's point, and especially this year, because I mean, you had, you know, the John Rahm debut going up against Pebble being canceled on Sunday. You had like that opening for Liv. And then you have obviously the Anthony Kim return. And then you have like Neiman becoming this like hottest golfer on the planet. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry that Austin Eckroat winning the Cognizant Classic is not a huge deal to the average golf fan right now. Now, is Austin Eckroat a young, talented player? Could he be great? Of course. I mean, you see Jake Knapp's on that leaderboard. Minwoo Lee, who we all love, is on that leaderboard. Cam Young, who we love, is on that leaderboard. Eric Van Rooyen. You know, Shane Lowry was on the leaderboard. He fell off in this start. But, you know, yeah, I mean, right now, a lot of the leaderboards have just not, you know, these guys have not, you know, where's Rory McIlroy? Where's Scheffler? Where's Ricky Fowler? Where's Spieth? I mean, they're just not there down the stretch on Sunday this year. And so that's led us, we've had to talk more about Liv, of course. I mean, so we're fair. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but we're fair. Like, we'll talk about the best stories. And Kim and Neiman were the best, biggest stories this week. I mean, that's plain and simple. But
the tweet I sent yesterday about Neiman, it's unbelievable. I know they're trolls, but like, the one guy was like, I can't believe that Golf Day just pays you to give these takes. I'm like, if I got paid by the take, I'd be tweeting every 2 minutes, shitting on Liv, racking up, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. So I don't know where these people come up with this stuff. They're like, oh, an email must have went out this morning to shit up. Like, what
Looney Tunes
world are you people living in? But I know we're just trolls. I get it. I'm trolling the fuck out of them again right now.
And I have, my problem is I feel like I need to like respond to like almost all these people. And I don't go back with hate or anything. I try to reason with them a little. And it's stupid because, right, you fire off one tweet that, I mean, it's not even controversial. And I've spent it all day replying still today. Yeah. And then it's weird. Like, there'll be these waves where first there's like the live people hit you. Then I get like all these tweets of support. Then this morning I woke up and there was a bunch more of like live people.
I mean, you can't look at this. Poop Johnson just replied to me.
Poop Johnson.
You can't even, you just got to keep scrolling and move on.
I know you really do. It's because you just can't reason with a lot of these people. The fact that people actually think, they're like, oh, the PGA Tour is paying you to tweet positive things about Tiger. They're like, what about when Tiger hit a shank? I'm like, first of all,
the PGA Tour is trying to get
about
me,
that.
We made PGA Tour is trying to get me kicked off of Twitter.
Right, exactly.
Times.
And they're like, what about when Will Zalatoris? Yeah, we wrote about it. He shot a million when he came back. He was horrible. Now he's playing better. Like, we're not.
We're partners with the tour, certainly, but they have no say.
None.
Anything editorial. They might come at us if we do something critical of the tour, but then it's a discussion with us, and if it's something we feel strongly about, we usually stand by our stance because we've had a conversation before. So there's no.
I mean, Joel just didn't.
Joel's been killing him. About the sponsor exemptions and who's getting in and who's not, and kind of saying it's. It looks kind of ridiculous that the tour's been killing Liv and World Golf Ranking kills Liv for being this closed door league, but the tour is giving all the sponsor exemptions to the people on the board. I mean, it looks terrible. So we've called out everything. It's just amazing that they think we have these the people who have the talking points are Liv, the Liv golfers. They have these talking points. They are literally told what to say at certain points. That's part of their contract. They have hardly any rights anymore. I mean, and look, they get paid a lot of money. That's part of the ballgame. But anyway, it's exhausting kind of dealing with it. You literally, I literally could tweet Anthony Kim shot 76 today, and they'll be like, why didn't you talk about Tiger shooting 70, withdrawing at the Masters? What are you talking about? It's insane. All right, let's give Austin Eckhart, because when we started this podcast, he was still hadn't won yet. He had a 3-shot lead late. He got through the bear trap. The bear trap was very tame this week. The whole PGA National was, 17 under winning at Steve. What is going on down there? This is supposed to be one of the tournaments that differentiates itself by being tough.
It really feels like to attract more players to it.
They
eased up the course a little. They added a ton more fairway width. The rough wasn't as bad as normal. And the 10th hole, that played to like a 4.1 stroke average last year as a par 4, and they added 25 yards to make it a par 5. Then it was like a joke if your guy didn't birdie it.
Right.
At least there were a bunch of eagles too. So, a bunch of people earlier in the week were saying, not my Honda Classic. I think that kind of took away from the viewing experience as well. Not to take away from Austin Eckroat, great young player, sure, but it just wasn't a really compelling final round because no one really threatened him. He had the lead after Lowry gagged it away, which I was on Lowry. A bunch of people were very sad. I thought I was going to hit my first outright. I was counting the money on Sunday morning, but
can't do it.
Not to be.
54 hole leader with two pretty unknown guys. Yeah. You kind of expect him to win, but that's golf. He was the big favorite. I think he was like plus 150 or something.
Yeah, going at a place he has such good history at. It was surprising. Right.
I told you guys I threw a few bucks on David Skins because he was co-leader and he was 7-1 odds. I mean,
It's David Skins. That's why he had 7-1 odds.
All right, but look, he held up. He held up okay. Shot an even par final round. Little T4 for him. But yeah, this event, it used to be great because Johnny Miller would be killing these guys as they choked. But it's just, yeah, to me, like, the whole allure of this event is obviously the bear trap. They beat you over the head with it. And if it's going to be tame and these guys are going to fire low 60s, like, it's no big deal. I don't know. It's
Andy Lack has the best. I don't know if it's a thread. He pays for Twitter. So it was like a 12 paragraph. Usually I keep scrolling past the 12 paragraph tweets, but I read it. It was very good. I think spot on how they've kind of made these courses, you know,
yes.
Piece of shit putting contest to steal John Rahm's. It's just impossible for the very good players like Rory McIlroy, say, to kind of separate themselves and be great when it's, you know, wide open fairways and soft conditions and everybody can just bomb it up close, wedge it on, and then it's just about who can make the most 15 to 20 footers after that. And it's unfortunately not a very compelling product.
Now we did have it, not that it would have drawn great ratings or anything, but speaking of comeback stories, you did have Bud Cauley as 36 hole leader, which was pretty amazing. But he shot 74 on Saturday and he finished T21. So, but still good for him. He hasn't played that much, obviously, in the past few years. He had the accident and broken all those ribs and everything else. So that was a good story. But yeah, again, the tour needs some of these guys like Rory to step up. I know Rory played at least this week, but he was in the, you know, he made the triple bogey. He was in the water, tried to hit one out of the water, didn't get out. He has not done anything of note this year. Jake Knapp could be a saving grace here. This guy is legit, guys. I mean, we're all like, he won in Mexico. You could bomb it. You can hit it anywhere. But he did finish T3 at Torrey Pines and now a T4 at the Honda, which, again, at least traditionally, Torrey and PGA National, two of the tougher tracks. Jake Knapp, guys, is legit. Before this week, he was fourth in strokes gained total on tour. So, talk about a late bloomer. He's something.
The Knappening.
Knappening. I like it. All right, what else do we need to talk about Honda? I mean, no, not the Honda. Sorry, the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. Oh, should we talk about the someone wrote? No, we'll say it. I mean, Alex Maselli. I mean, legendary golf writer Alex Maselli wrote that Charlie Woods should have been given an exemption.
Oh, my God.
Guys, your thoughts on that? I think we're all in agreement here.
I love a take. It's a good take.
We do love a take. That's true.
Yeah, just Alex trying to get back on Tiger's. After
great point.
Tiger calling him, Alex, you're a beaut.
A beaut.
Remember that?
How long ago was that?
A long time ago.
Simpler times back then.
I felt like it might have been at the Honda too.
Could have been. Could have been. Yeah.
You're a beaut. Man. Oh my God.
I mean, the poor kid didn't break 80 in a pre-qualifier. Right. You're supposed to give him an exemption into it. I mean, maybe it would have drew some eyeballs.
It definitely would have.
Yeah. But I don't know about that one.
Maybe I think, exactly.
Sure.
They got a bunch of YouTubers playing for a spot right now.
Is that going on right now? Our boy Danny?
I'm kidding, everyone. I'm kidding.
It's not. Where's Greg?
I love it. That was producer Greg.
We're all on the record saying that we love it.
Yeah.
All you need is a camera and a microphone to make it to the PGA Tour.
Greg, what a big couple of weeks for Greg. He had that blow up, and then he wins a Golf Writers Award. Incredible for being part of the College Golf Package, the great College Golf Package that Golf Digest put out last year. Of course, I did tell Greg it was kind of like Mitch Richmond joining the Lakers when he won the ring. He didn't play a minute, won a ring. Or I think he got in like game six or something. But no, Greg, good job, man. Good job. You were part of the big package.
I wrote a piece for it. What do you think?
I did, but dude, he attached his name to a great entity. I mean,
a win's a win. No, I got
it. A win's a win, Greg. I'm not saying.
I'm fine with it.
More so GWAA awards.
He's making waves. Have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg has more awards than.
And does he not even have to go to the dinner? If we get stuck going to the dinner and he doesn't even have to go.
Greg, do you want me to accept the award on your behalf?
Please.
I'll do it.
Fair
enough. I'll go.
I told made Alex, out like a champ here.
It's my first magazine story ever.
First magazine story.
One for one. Dude,
one for one.
Retire. One for one.
Retire, dude. You're on fire. You're like, who is that caddy who was like one? There's a caddy who won once. That's it. He did one event. I mean, it's epic, man. No,
just make sure you write Brock Osweiler in your acceptance speech, right? Yeah. Just like Joel did last year.
That was amazing. That's an all-time acceptance speech. That and our boy Chris Jones gave an all-time acceptance speech. It made the whole four-hour dinner worth it, almost. Almost. No, but if that group wins, we know Sam will be hogging. So, yeah.
I was going to say, I was looking at getting out this year, but
no. Now you got to go, probably.
Yeah. And Dom Ferrari.
Oh, Dom! Yeah,
Lifetime Photography Award.
Legend.
Still probably gonna not go.
Yeah. Did we kick it to our Steve Stricker? Yeah. We have a great guest.
Great guest.
I mean, he's one of the best. Again, no more preamble here. Let's get into our chat with Steve Stricker. All right, we are excited to be welcomed by 12-time PGA Tour winner, former U.S. Ryder Cup captain, and the reigning PGA Tour Champions Player of the Year, Steve Stricker. Steve, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
You got it. Well, first off, I mean, a T7 in your first event. What's going on? I mean, that's a horrible, horrible result for you these days. Well, how's your golf game these days?
I know. You know, when your expectations are to go out and have that opportunity to win each and every time, you know, you get a little spoiled. And then when it doesn't happen, right, it's like, what the heck happened? But it's early in the year yet, and excited about the next month. I've got a busy month coming up, and the Players Championship is in there, which I'm excited to be going back to. So it's a good time to get my game going in the right direction.
Yeah, how do you feel about, you know, competing against, you know, all the young guys on tour these days? Because, you know, pretty much the last couple of years when you have competed on tour, you know, you've made a bunch of cuts, you know, done well. How do you feel about that for this year?
Yeah, I'm excited to see where my game stacks up. You know, I've got at least two starts out there on the regular tour, the Players Championship and then the PGA Championship. And I may try to throw in another one or two along the way. You know, I'm not getting any younger, right? And it's a time where I still feel like I'm playing pretty decent. My body isn't great, but working on that. And then it's just, it's still fun and exciting to try to compete against the best players in the world. And I kind of want to do that again.
Yeah, kind of bouncing off that, when you see a guy like Jake Knapp just like effortlessly take it all the way back and let it rip, do you just go, my God, what am I even trying to do out here with these guys at the Players Championship?
Well, you know what? There's room in the game yet still for old guys that can kind of outthink them, right?
Yeah.
Be a little bit more cautious, hit it in the fairway, hit it on the green, make a few putts here and there. You know, just playing smarter than some of these kids sometimes is more beneficial, but it is impressive how far they hit it. And I kind of wish I was, you know, 25 again and learning the game and learning how to hit it far, because it's fun to watch. When I've been a part of these teams as a captain or assistant captain and watching these young guys just, you know, flush it and bomb it is really impressive.
You bring up obviously being captain. I was going to ask you, you know, you were a captain of a winning team, not only a winning team, but a dominant team, obviously Whistling Straits. And then, you know, unfortunately they don't, they lose in Rome. It seems like the home team always has an advantage at these things. What have you, you know, talked to with Zach Johnson since? I mean, I know he's probably taken the loss way too hard on himself as captain, but what have you been able to tell him about that?
Yeah. And it is, it's a tough deal for whatever reason. We can't go over there and, you know, get our guys playing well to translate into a win, you know? And I think this year, I mean, it seems like every year, and we've talked about this as captains, it seems like every year there seems to be something that kind of stands out that was the issue. And this year for us, it feels like there was so much time between the last tournament they played,
yep,
and then the actual Ryder Cup, where they just didn't play any competition at all. And I think that's really hard when you're going to go play in an event as enormous as the Ryder Cup and not being golf ready as far as the competition part, because they practice right. Their games look good. They gelled together. They're a great bunch of guys. They got along great. Despite what you heard in the media, this room, the team room, was incredibly close, and it just didn't translate into them playing well. And the only thing that we can think about is that the amount of time they had in between competitions.
Right. So,
which was a long time. It was
a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. And that was, you know, that was evident, I think, at the start of the competition. And then it seemed like they rallied toward the end. And we got an up close look this year. You know, Netflix, the new season is coming out. We got a little look at it, and you know, the cameras followed around Zach for pretty much the entire year and gave us some great inside looks. Yeah, I'm curious, you know, being a Ryder Cup captain yourself, your thoughts on the Netflix cameras, you know, being around for that entire process and what that would have been like for you as the captain.
Yeah, it was they kind of blended themselves in really nicely, to be quite honest with you. They didn't get into our team rooms at all, which I think was important that our guys still had their space inside the team room. But when they were out on the course, you know, it kind of, you know, and a lot of these guys are part of that Netflix, I forget the name of the series, but
Full Swing.
Full Swing. They're a part of that, some of those guys anyway. So it's like they kind of, again, they blended well. They weren't in your kitchen. They it really wasn't a distraction at all. I didn't feel like.
I'm kind of curious. You're widely regarded as one of the best putters in recent memory, and you know, we've heard Tiger refer to a tip you've given him here and there. How often are you approached by, say, younger players or even guys on the PGA Tour champions picking your brain on on the greens?
Yeah, you know, quite a bit. At times, you know, I've helped a few players over the course of my career, and that's the cool thing about golf, right? Where guys can feel like they can come to other players and ask for help. And it's nice, you know, it makes you feel good that you're doing something right and somebody wants your opinion on things, especially at that level. So, and I'm willing to help. I feel like I can offer up some help and be helpful to these guys, and I'm flattered when they do ask.
It's kind of crazy. Back in 2008, you were a Ryder Cup rookie at age 41, I believe. Another rookie on that team was Anthony Kim. I just wondered, you know, he's in the news a lot. What was it like being a teammate with AK? What kind of a teammate was he?
Oh, he was the best. He was, he was really good. Just his whole demeanor, his whole attitude, his what he brought to the team was really pretty special. And I was excited. I saw that he shot 6 over yesterday. I was excited to see how he was going to play in his first deal back, his first competition back. But he's good for the game. He's good to have around. I wish he was playing on our tour and not the Live Tour, but it's good to see him back playing again. And I hope that he hopefully, you know, gets going, plays well. And, but he was a great teammate, and he was perfect for that team environment.
What do you, you know, you're someone who you take a lot of time off and you come back and you play great. Now, obviously you never took 12 years off like him, but what's that like? And is it, I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, like, again, he's still younger than you were when you made your first Ryder Cup team. Could he still have a career, a good career?
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, I watched the swing. His swing looks great still. You know, it's going to take him some time, right? I mean, competition and just playing around with your buddies and practicing on the range at home is totally different than competing under the gun. But, you know, it doesn't go. It doesn't leave you. It's in there. He's just got to, you know, he'll rely on what he's done in the past, and that'll come back to him, I bet, fairly quickly. And who knows, even, you know, the next round that he plays, I could see him playing better right out of the chute tomorrow. And so he'll get it back, I'm sure. And he'll rely on those past experiences to do that.
Two from me. First, you're playing in the Gallery Classic at the end of March. Tell us about this partnership with Grail.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. You know, I'm sure cancer's touched your guys' life. It's touched my life at a younger age. I lost my college roommate 20 years ago already, you know, to a rare form of cancer, stomach cancer. And, you know, even since then, you know people that are friends of people or other family members that have come down with this vicious disease. So it's it seems like a great partnership, especially where I'm at in my career. You know, I'm 57 now, and we're going to a place in Palm Springs where it's the demographics is a perfect spot to get our word out about the simple blood test and screening to pick up on these cancers that then you can go to your doctor and kind of get a little proactive in your healthcare. So it's just, it seems like a perfect marriage for us to get their word out. And I'm excited to be a part of it. I think it's a great test. I'm going to take the test on Tuesday of tournament week. So I'm excited to do that, and knock on wood, hopefully they don't find anything. And then, but you know, it's, I'm excited to be a part of it all.
I was down at the PNC in December. You played with your daughter, Izzy. You were absolutely beaming. I'm just wondering where that week kind of ranked for you as a guy who's done a lot in this sport.
Yeah, that was right up there. And immediately we said, we hope we get invited back next year, because that was, it was so much fun. And Izzy had such a great time, and she handled herself very well. And she, you know, she played with the two people that she wanted to play with. And I've never played with Nelly either. So I was super excited to play with Nelly. Mm. And then that was one of her golfers that she wanted to play with. So we played with her, and then we got paired with Tiger and Charlie the next day. That's going to be tough to beat in the years to come if we do get to go back there and play, but we had a great time.
That is special. We saw Tiger back at Riviera, obviously an unfortunate end to the week, but, you know, curious as someone who's been around him so much and talking to him, you know, what you sort of predict from the rest of his 2024 at this point.
Yeah, I'm excited. It looked like, you know, this was, didn't have anything to do with his ankle or any, you know, anything like that. So it looked like he was getting around a little bit better. So I'm excited for him for that part. You know, I'm a huge Tiger fan, and I want to see him playing as much as he can. It sounds like he's going to try to play once a month. I thought about asking him to see if he wanted to play in New Orleans at the team event.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Like, how cool would that be?
We got to make that happen.
I said, let's, you know, I think I'm going to text him and say, hey, let's do this one more time. Let's get together one more time. I don't think it'll happen, but, you know, it would be, that'd be a blast. But yeah, I'm hoping the best for him, and I hope to see him playing in these majors, and his swing looks fine, you know, and he's going to get it around, but it's just all about the health part of things.
We got to start that campaign.
Yeah. You still have a couple months, right? Last one for me, Steve, you know, you're wearing the Wisconsin golf hat there, PGA and tour, and you're so associated with that state. What's it been like seeing this kind of boom the past, I don't know, what, 25 years with Whistling Straits and Aaron Hills and now Sand Valley is incredible. It's my favorite spot I've ever been to. What does it say about how strong the golf is?
It is. And then if you can read that, it's the TPC Wisconsin.
There we go.
So my father-in-law redid his golf course, and I was the designer. So along with the PGA Tour, and we were able to get the accreditation of the TPC network. And now we're TPC Wisconsin, redid the whole thing. So it opened last August. It's brand new. So, but the whole state is on fire as it relates to golf. even where we played the senior US Open last year up
Century World.
World.
Yeah, they did a great job there, and a fun course to play right in the center part of our state. And there's a lot of great golf there, you know, it's definitely on the map when it comes to golf. And people know about it too. They take these trips to Kohler, and then they kind of make a swing through the center of the state and go up to Sand Valley. And, you know, I know Century World's starting to get some of those people, and they can stop off and play TPC Wisconsin too, you know? So it's a great golf destination.
There we go. Are you going to be doing more course designing, or was that kind of like a special deal there?
No, I think I've got some opportunities ahead that I may try to do. So it's fun. I enjoy that part of it. I enjoy the process of it all. That was my first one. So I really got, and I lived right there. I live right there by it. So I was able to be there quite a bit. And we're still tweaking it here and there. There's some changes that we're already doing that we didn't like how they came out the first time. So, but it's been a fun process.
Awesome. Well, Steve, we really appreciate your time. Good luck the rest of the season. I'm sure it'll be another dominant campaign despite that T7 start. And hey, text Tiger about that. That would be amazing. You guys did that.
That would be amazing.
New Orleans. Yeah.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks again to the Strick Show for joining us. That was great. What else were we going to talk about? I mean, obviously we have Bay Hill this week. Oh, well, Steve, you want to say, or Steve and Chris, you want to say something about this? I mean, I wish we knew what happened, but we have the famed Seminole, what is it? The pro member going on right now, the big with the, and it, yeah, it does have actually a better field than the Cognizant Classic. Probably you have Tiger Woods even playing, you have Tom Brady. Yeah, and CP, what were you writing about with Van Rooyen? I don't think it matters now, but what was the situation there?
He would have had to be pulled off the course. That's an all-timer. I mean, we've all dealt with the better invitation in our lives. But not with a PGA Tour win on the line. So that was a very, very unique situation. But
yeah.
I'm sure he was thrilled that Eck wrote kind of close it out. Honestly, literally, he was probably thrilled to not have to leave Seminole.
He's already in the Masters with his win in Mexico earlier this year, right? So, I mean, he was potentially playing for a difference of like 700 grand. Seminole, you know, I'm sure he could get on anytime, but
pocket change for Joaquin Neiman, though. So,
pocket change.
Right.
The guy makes $4 million every other week. I mean, but then he bitches and moans. It's crazy.
I mean, this is a crazy field. I don't know if you guys saw, like, Shane Battier, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Did you know Shane Battier is a member at Seminole? The fuck?
I did not. I knew he played golf. I did not know he was a member. Wow. Yeah,
just
can't believe he could play with the court storming situation last week. Hang on. Everyone's
don't get me started, dude.
How about that fucking loser doing a windmill dunk?
Did you see that?
Yeah. I was watching it live. I was screaming. I was like,
injury. Joke. And now we can say it. And we were hinting at it last week. And I was like, you know what? Just in case he's actually hurt, like, I don't want to sound like an asshole. The guy's doing windmill dunks. And he was crying about
it. And Duke is that type of cult where, like, they think it's, like, probably funny, like, the whole thing. Like, our boy David Gordon, I guarantee you if we text him right now about it, he'd be like, oh, yeah, that was a joke of the court storming. And you know, he could have gotten killed. Like, they're, like, I was about to say like a certain section of golf fans, but I'm not going to, but they're like literally brainwashed, but it's scary.
Kentucky could be cult like, but not in the same way as Duke is
like that
scary.
Well, yeah. Duke's
it's,
like,
it's that us against the world, like, at all costs mentality. What you look like,
Duke, I mean,
bunch of losers ever.
To reference Neiman, I mean, again, they're all, no matter what happens, no matter how many wins, how many calls they get, how many titles, how many accolades, they got to whine about something. It's incredible. So, yeah.
Enough. This is why you come to the Loop podcast. We just equated Joaquin Neiman's win to Duke in the course
top season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of jokes, I mean, Wake then lost the next two games. So they're out. I hope they don't make the tournament now.
Seton Hall's choking it away too.
I saw they got blown out.
Well, it's UConn. Come on.
Every time they leave New Jersey, they get their shit kicked in. It's like
Wednesday night.
Neither of our teams deserve to make it.
Kentucky Wednesday night, they're hosting Nova.
Have to win.
That's a win and get in situation.
Wake's an embarrassment.
You can watch me. I think I'll be second row at Prudential Center. So
wow, very nice.
Yeah,
very nice. Wake's an embarrassment, but Arnold Palmer never an embarrassment. And we have the Arnold Palmer, who obviously Wake Forest, one of the Wake Forest legends. Go Deeks. But we have the Arnold Palmer Invitational, guys. Again, the stars are all going to be there. Somehow, we need to get some kind of big-time board here on Sunday, generate some excitement, because it's funny. As we were just saying this, a couple of my friends texted me. Big golf fans. Huge. Literally, this is the text. PGA is getting absolutely crushed this season so far with these awful winners. Austin Eckroat might be the least recognizable name for a winner in my lifetime. Not even remotely familiar. Then he says, no way my other friend has heard of him. And then he goes, I watched some of it earlier. Very boring player. Was rooting for Minwoo Lee. So this is what is going on. This is, and these are big golf fans. And they're like, who the hell is Austin Eckroat? Again, young player, Oklahoma State product, could be, you know, could be great. But we are off to a tough start here if you're the PGA Tour. I mean, you had Paul Azinger. Paul Azinger comes out and does an interview where he says, now he went way too far, as usual. His analysis, very shoddy. But Paul Azinger said that the PGA Tour is fastly becoming the qualifying for LIV.
Ooh.
Bit much. I mean, quite a tour. And then, oh, he did get a good line in at the end. He said he's done with the tour. He doesn't like Jay Monahan. He made it very clear. He does not like Jay Monahan. He said, maybe I would do the senior tour because at least those guys are the best. The PGA Tour, they're not the best. Pretty harsh.
Shout out Strict Show.
Strict Show. Strict Show. We know Strict Show is the best, of the geezers. So, all right. Arnold Palmer, guys. Early thoughts here. Obviously, Scheffler, once again, a favorite, 6-1. You got a, you know, somewhat limited field here. What are your thoughts, guys, early on in the week?
Man, I mean, it's probably just Scheffler is going to win. So take this 6-1.
Wow, really?
I mean, a few other guys who are interesting to me. Zalatoris looks like he's like almost back, 35-1. I'm interested in that. I can't believe Wyndham Clark is still 45-1. Where is the respect on Windy C? I mean, this guy hits it a mile. You know, he wins every signature event there is, seemingly. And he's still, you know, next to Adam Scott, who shouldn't even be in the field.
That's crazy. That's crazy, dude.
He hits it. Steve's right. Dan and I were following him at Riviera. He hits it like 20 yards past Rory. Yeah. When Clark. It's insane. And it's a cut. He hits a
and
cut.
And he's an amazing
great player. Short game.
Yeah, great. Like, how is he down there with these? You're right. I'm betting. No sense. Through that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and all he does is win big time events.
Big time events. Yeah. 3-3. In the big time events. Good call there, Steve.
One other guy, Sepp Straka, has not really done anything this year. He's on my fantasy team. I know that, but this is the kind of course that suits his game. Mm-hmm. You know, big rough, fucking move it out because he's a big hog. You know, Georgia strong. 110-1. I'm interested in that too.
Nice. I hate it, but I love it. Tommy Fleetwood at 25-1. Everything he's ever done on the PGA Tour tells you he's not going to win this week. But he's had a good start to 2024. He won in Dubai, I believe. Just tied for 10th at Riviera. Mm-hmm. We need a feel good, you know, big time player winner. I hope that's this week. I hope it's Tommy Fleetwood, who would look phenomenal in the cardigan. Mm. On the
18th. Oh, you're right. That's like what he would wear anyway.
Exactly. So I've kind of got that image in my mind right now. I'm going to bet on Tommy Fleetwood to finally get
wow.
it this week.
Paul Azinger will be horrified.
In shambles. Oh my God.
Punch in air.
Wow. Man, I'm with you, Steve. The Wyndham Clark is too good to pass up there. Man, I'm seeing the Eric Cole. God, what was that last week?
The shot, guy never had, shot the a guy 90, never, casual 90 on Thursday.
Did he really shoot 90?
I'm kidding.
Oh, no, I mean, it seemed like he was in dead last place. Yep. I took him in my pick'em thing, which is up to $70 now. No one's won this year because these winners are insane. And I took him with like, I think the fourth pick. He was DFL at some point. I mean,
it was amazing because I tweeted about Kisner being 2,500 to 1 and just felt that was so crazy. Bet like whatever DK dollars I could scrounge up from a history of losing bets on the app on that dead last. And then Eric Cole somehow eclipsed him in dead last. So I had the two guys in dead last after Thursday. It was incredible. That's
unreal. By the way, down at the bottom here, I mean, it's not as bad as Wyndham Clark. Actually, it might be as bad. I'm not saying I love the guy or anything. Grayson Murray is 600 to 1.
That is.
But behind everybody. He's behind, way behind everybody. He won a tournament this year. What is going on? He's a
double Webb Simpson's odds. Webb Simpson has no chance to win.
Yeah, that is insane.
I'll take your Grayson Murray bet, Mark.
I'm going to put $5 on that. What the hell? I mean, that's insane.
Just kidding. I won't take that.
You won't? I'll
give you $3,000.
Oh, you want to book it with me? Yeah. Come on, let's do it. I want you guys to book the knee. I think that's a great idea. I think you should offer, you should be the book against Neiman. Give slightly better. You don't have to give 50 to 1, obviously, but see what the going rate is. Let's see, like, what's it on DraftKings right now? I think it's 35 to 1. Let's see. See what the going rate is. Joaquin Neiman, 25 to 1. Oh, shit. Okay. So like you
one too many tweets yesterday for
right. You could offer everyone 30 to 1.
Yeah.
Great deal. And you could just take it. I'd love to. You could end up like that bartender we were talking about last week, or the bartender. Who bet, you know, $7,000 on Carl Yuan? You could end up like, I'd love to see how many people would bet against, you know, $10, $20.
Yeah,
you guys could clean up too. You probably would.
I want to bet Neiman. I don't
know if it's legal. I don't. It's probably not legal if we did that. We'd probably.
That's definitely not legal. No.
But damn, that would be fun. Imagine if he was in the mix on Sunday and all of golf Twitter is rooting against you guys.
Dude, I'm rooting for Neiman. I don't know what you're talking about.
I love Neiman. I'm a Neiman guy.
Just CP then. Yeah. Just CP.
After the 20th freaking Neiman. I kind of like Neiman at the Masters yesterday. Like, yeah, no shit. He just won again. Like, we all like him at the Masters. We get it. You're a leaky pick. Okay. All right.
At least I did it on Friday. That's all I have.
You did. No, great job. It's funny. I was with a couple of buddies on Friday, and they one of them asked, like, who's your early pick for the Masters? And I said Neiman. And
wow.
Now I'm just as big a square as everybody else.
Now you might
Neiman.
Now you might take on risk of like $50,000 against him. I can't wait for this. I want to set this up somehow. We'll probably go to jail, but this would be awesome. Would be epic. Okay. Anything else that we need to talk about? Well, we do have to mention, obviously, that on Wednesday, we will be dropping our special podcast episode dealing with Netflix's second season of Full Swing. Again, just a plethora of great guests. Netflix really hooked it up. And we're going to break down all the episodes with our own Shane Ryan. But again, with a lot of the star, I don't want to give it away, but I'll just say, I think it's what, 6 or 7 of the key people in the show, and not Dan Rappaport, surprisingly. We were going to do Dan Rappaport, and then we're like, Dan, sorry, we actually got some of the real stars from the show. So we'll get Dan back on another time, though. Actually, we should get him on to talk about this Myrtle Beach thing. So
yeah, that's going on now. So that'll be fun. Shout out Danny.
Good luck. Anyway. Good times as always. Thanks again to Steve Stricker for joining us. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Thanks as always to our producer, Greg Godfrey. And again, check out our special Full Swing podcast dropping on Wednesday. All right. See you. The award winners. Greg's the only award winner.
Greg should be running the meeting, for being honest. Yeah. I'm good. I'm all right.